Good morning. Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 541. And we'll stand together and sing the joy of the Lord. 541. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you are here with us this morning. We praise you for the joy of a new day and the privilege to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ as your church here in this local assembly. We thank you for the privilege to seek your face together, to worship you, lift your name on high, to proclaim the name of Jesus, that all might be encouraged who have already trusted in him, and that if any are here today that have not yet put their faith and trust in Christ, that they would do so before before the service is done, or even as they would talk with us afterwards. But Father, we thank you for the privilege and the joy to be together here today, for the love that is here, the moving of your Spirit, and we pray that he will accomplish his purposes in each of our lives. May we have fertile soil to receive what you have for us today, and we pray that we will draw closer to you and to one another through this hour and go out into a new week ready to serve you. We commit this time to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue by turning.
Okay, we're going to be reading now from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your great love and mercy and grace to us. We Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he means to us. Lord, we just praise your holy name that you are here with us this morning and that we can cry out to you and give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you do in our lives. Lord, we pray this morning that you will undertake for each person who has come that we might truly be encouraged and strengthened and blessed in our Christian lives, that we might be encouraged to lift up our hearts to you and know that you hear and answer our prayers. We do pray, our Father, this morning for those who cannot be with us. We know there are some that are under the weather or are not doing too well. We pray that you will undertake and supply their needs. We do want to pray especially today for these requests. We pray for Peggy Chanot as she goes to the doctor on Wednesday, that she might find out exactly what her problem is. We pray also for Sue that she might be able to work out this problem of moving and getting the prosthesis and all of that. We know it's very involved, and we pray that everything can be worked out. We do pray, our Father, for the special live cast that Steve is putting on along with others on each evening, and we pray that that might be a great help to many people. And Lord, we just thank you for our church, for each one of our people, and for the faithfulness of each one. And we pray that your will would be done in all of our lives. We do pray for our missionaries today. Thank you for the ones that we are able to help with our support and our prayers. And we just ask you to guide and help them in all that they're doing. We just pray that you would supply their needs and give wisdom. We know we have several missionaries that are in the process of wondering what to do for the future. We think of the Kellers, cannot return to the Ukraine, and we pray that you would guide them. We think of the Bardens as they anticipate moving back to Vernal, Utah, and pray that you'll help them. And pray that you'll just guide and direct each and every one in all of the decisions that they need to make and in their proclamation of the gospel. And Lord, we just pray now your blessings upon your word today, that each one of us might receive it into our hearts and that it might truly be a blessing to us, and that we might be able to witness in this world in a better way. May your will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 once again. Until now, Paul has been emphasizing doctrine, especially the preeminent lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the first two chapters. This is something Paul does regularly in his epistles. The first part is teaching and explaining doctrine. Now, I know a lot of times today people don't think doctrine is important, but it is. It's very important, and we need to understand what the teaching is before we can enjoy what we have, right? And so that's what he does here. And so beginning in chapter 3, we find a more practical application of the doctrine that he has already brought forth in the first part of this epistle. It's important for us to show what we believe by the way we live. You know, what do you believe? You know, in the scriptures we say, oh yes, yes, we're evangelical, fundamental Christians. We believe this. We will stand on it. We'll die on it and all this. But then how do we really carry out our lives? What do we do? And so this is what Paul is saying here. Starts off at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Okay, so here he's telling us, You know, we have a great heritage. And when it says, if we then, it can also be translated, since we then are risen with Christ. Because this is something that has happened. Jesus came forth from the grave, and all those who believe in him came forth with him, right? We live a new life. We have been buried with him in baptism. We have been risen again with him to newness of life. And so to believe in Christ means to also change our conduct to follow him and his teachings. We are to put into practice what we say we believe. Right? That only makes sense. You know, if you have a particular belief, you're going to act accordingly, right? And so that's what he's saying here. So seek, first of all, heavenly things. You know, we live in this world, and there's some things we agree with, other things we don't agree with. We complain about various things that happen and all that. But here on earth, this is only temporary. We have a home in heaven, right? And we're going to be going there. And since we have been risen with Christ, we can now enjoy those things from above. You know, that's the wonderful thing about going to the Lord in prayer, right? We can get alone by ourselves. Everything else is out of the way, and we can just enjoy talking with the Lord, being with him, and learning what we need to be doing. You know, God can speak to our hearts as we look to him. But it's if we're risen in Christ, then we should be thinking about those things which are above. So Paul here, he's not doubting anybody's salvation. He says, you have been risen with Christ. And now he's confident that these saved people are going to live for him. Do you have that confidence in your heart today? That's the question, isn't it? Are you alive in him? You know, now, as far as I know, I mean, I don't know of anyone that's not. But anyway, this is the question that Paul is bringing forth here. Are you risen with Christ? Yes, you have been. As people in this church at Colossae, he takes for granted that they are indeed Christian people, and he's rejoicing in that. So he says, set your heart and your mind on things above, not earthly things. What does it take to satisfy you? You know, like I was saying, not to criticize anybody that goes to the ball games. I love to watch the sports myself. But some of these people are absolute fanatics. I mean, to go out at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch a game that's going to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, they're mostly there for the for all the other camaraderie that they have and so forth. And I'm sure they enjoy that as well. But what I'm trying to say is, if we are Christians, then we should be enthused about things that pertain to Christians, right? Right? We should be worshiping the Lord, serving him, and enjoying the things of God. Now, so he says, set your hearts and minds on these things. Heaven's blessings on earth is the things that we need to think about. You know, it gets discouraging, doesn't it? I can find myself getting discouraged if I dwell too much on the things that's going on all around us, you know, especially in these days. But we need to find a way to get above that and to rejoice in all that we have in Christ. And so that's what he's saying here. What does it take to satisfy you? He says, seek those things which are above. Those things which, you know, we used to have the saying, I'm not so sure about this, but they used to say someone was so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good, right? And I can understand that. I mean, if that's all you do, you go around with your head in the clouds all the time, you're not helping anybody, right? But we're supposed to get alone with the Lord and rejoice in all that we have in heaven and think about that in order to encourage us so that we can help other people, right? You know, and so that's what we're looking at here. Paul is saying that very clearly. Now, he said you're risen with Christ. What does verse 3 says? For you're dead. Now, which is it? For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Right? Okay, Christ died on the cross. We are identified with him. So therefore, when he died, we died. Right? To the old life, to the sin and all of that, it should be crucified with Christ. You are dead. But now he says your life is hid with Christ in God. So there's an old life and a new life, right? And we are supposed to be hid with Christ in God. Yeah, that means Christians are different people, aren't they? Huh? And this is what he's saying here. And notice what he says in the next verse, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So here we have Christ, who is our life. Our life is hidden in him. And we are, he is coming again. We believe that, don't we? It's in our doctrinal statement. We know it's there. We believe Jesus is coming, right? We sing about it. And yet, so often, we forget that that's a fact. He is coming. He is our life. Our life is wrapped up in him. And when he comes again, it's going to be so much better than it is now. Right? He says, then shall you appear with him in glory. So, he says, we need to think about these things. Set your heart and mind on heavenly things, on that which is above. And you're dead to the old life. You're alive in Christ. You have a new life. And we should put aside those things from before and live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. He is our life. Look with me, 1 John 3:23. Let's see what that is. 1 John 3:23. I have it here. It says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. So, here we have, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have salvation through him. And he says, since that is true, then we are to love him with all of our hearts. And we are to love one another, that as Christ has commanded us to do. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. You know, that's the thing. Just to the natural man, he cannot. He doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. But we, as believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit who will guide us and lead us into all truth and into all the way we should go. Excuse me. Then the second thing we see here is we should shun these sinful practices. Verse 5. He says, mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And then he lists a whole bunch of sins. Now, I'm not sure why it says members. You know, we think of the members as being the different parts of our body, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about these sins that we were doing before. We need to put them to death. Mortify. Mortify means to put to death your former sinful practices. So we as believers, as we learn what God wants us to do, how we should live our lives, then we should put to death those things that are contrary to His will and live a righteous life. And he says, mortify your members, these sinful practices. And lay aside your filthy garments and put on the righteous white robes of Christ. So what does he say here? These things we are to avoid. You know, today, it seems, if you look around, there is nothing wrong with anything. Right? I mean, fornication, he says. What's fornication? Immorality. God says that it's wrong. We have to put it aside. This word, it means any kind of immoral sin that we could have done before. He says now, put it aside. Don't get involved in that. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. You know, all these deviant things that they're talking about today that are perfectly all right. Well, they're not all right. It's wrong. And no matter who might say something different, it doesn't matter. God says that these things are wrong. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. Well, that's quite a word, isn't it? Think of that. Lust. And evil, ungodly things. All of these seem to have to do with sensualness and things of that nature. He says all of these things. And covetousness, he puts that in there, which doesn't seem to fit in with the other word things, but he includes it. Covetousness, which is idolatry. So, he says, you know, when you desire something someone else has to the extent that you've got to have it, right? He says that's like idolatry, bowing down before an idol and not giving God the glory for what he does. Covetousness, not being content with what you have, but desiring deeply something that others have. It's one of the things that, well, it's even in the Ten Commandments. No covetousness. We're not to covet our neighbor's family or wife or anything of that nature. Idolatry. It's all wrong. And let's see. Mortify means to put to death. Lay aside your filthy garments. I said that. And put on Christ. Put on Christ. Now, and here Paul uses these expressions as like painting a picture, actually. He says down in verse 8, now put off all these. There's certain things we have to put off and other things that we put on. It's like changing your clothes, you know. And take off the old garments, those things that are sinful in God's sight, and put on that which is pleasing to him. Okay? Put off all these. So, he said, you used to walk in these things. You were the children of disobedience. That's the old life. He says, put all that to death. And live a life that is pleasing to God. And he'll give you the power to do that. We can't do it on our own, but he can help us. Now, also, he mentioned these things up here that we're to die to, and then he mentioned some other things that might be a little bit closer to home in verse 8. He says, but now put off all these. Okay. Anger. Huh? It's easy to get angry sometimes, isn't it? And we know, of course, there is some righteous anger. But not much. Right? Most of it is just our own selfish ideas, what we want, you know. The wife burns a toast in the morning and you say, oh my goodness, I wanted that, you know, or whatever it might be. And anger, something that we need to put aside and put it off. Anger, wrath. Now, what's the difference there? I think wrath must be a intensified anger. What do you think? Something that you can't seem to shake off, you know. And he says, anger, malice. That's when you really, really hang on to something and you can't tolerate what's going on. Malice builds up in your life and affects you. Blasphemy. Using the name of God in vain, yes. And not giving him the credit that he should have. Blasphemy. Ungodly things. And filthy communication out of your mouth. These are the things that we need to put aside. We don't need to use profanity and expletives and all of that in our conversation. It's not godly. And we need to put all that aside. And then verse 9 says, lie not one to another. You know. So how do you not lie to somebody? Huh? I would think that would be tell them the truth. What do you think? Don't lie to somebody. Sometimes it may be more convenient. You say, well, it's just a little white lie. You know, I'm not really, it's nothing really bad. But he says, don't do it. Don't lie to one another. And especially here, to one another, among believers especially, don't lie. Tell them the truth. Seeing that you have, here it is, put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay. So he says, put off the old and put on the new. And don't allow your life to be deceptive. You know, when we lie about something just to cover up, and he says, put all that aside. Shun these things. Rid your life of characteristics that are unbecoming to a Christian. Now, that shouldn't be too hard, should it? You know, there's certain things we know. We know what's right and we know what's wrong, especially if we read the Bible, right? We know what God expects of us. So he says, let's do that. Lay aside all prejudices. Put on the new man, he says. And in Christ, everyone is equal. We are all children of God if we have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is, what does it say here in verse 11? He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. You see? He said, doesn't matter who you are. You know? Whatever you might be. He says, there in Christ, we don't have these distinctions. You know, there's neither Jew nor Greek, right? There's neither male nor female, it says. So we all are to be accept one another and care for one another because of who Christ is. and what he has done for us. Now here it talks here about the Greek and the Jew, two different ethnic groups. The Jews, of course, were the ones that had the scriptures. They knew more, at the beginning at least. The Greeks were those that had other mythologies and things that they went by. But he says it doesn't matter now because you're putting all that aside. Paul said, I put aside everything I used to be. He said, I have the pedigree. I'm a Jew. I am an Israelite. I am. I studied under Gamaliel and all these things he lists out. But he says, now, it doesn't matter. Now, all that's gone. Now, in Christ, sit down beside the most ignorant person in the world and still call him brother, right? And circumcision or uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. This says barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Now this, you may not know what a Scythian is. According to my note, it's a nomadic tribe known for cruelty and inhumane ways. Okay? So this was a certain group of people that were considered inhumane and not very nice folks. People you don't really want to be around. But in Christ, that person is changed, right? Changed to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, put on, in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. Wow, that's good, isn't it? We are the elect of God. Holy and beloved. You mean I'm holy? Are you holy? Paul says you are. You're a holy person, right? And beloved. God loves you, and other believers love you. He says, put on, therefore, in this way, bowels of mercies. That means have a tenderness of heart and mind, right? Be merciful to others. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Let this be your life. Select God's best for you. So, in light of your position as one who is chosen of God, declared holy in Christ, and dearly loved, live the life God has planned for you. That's what he's saying here. And we can emphasize that. Now, I know we slip up occasionally, right? You know, we all do. But he says, make it your earnest effort to do the best you possibly can, right? And that's the whole thing. It's an emphasis. And he says here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Well, I haven't spoken to that person for the last 20 years. Did you know? They offended me. Okay. Paul says, what are you supposed to do? Forgive him. Right? Forgive him. Now, we can continue on just hating somebody or, you know, but he says no. Forbear that person. Put up with them and forgive them. If any man has a quarrel against any, even, what does it say? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You see? Now, we are all guilty, right? We're all guilty of offending the Lord. We've turned our backs on him. We've done so many things that he did not want us to do. And he has forgiven us. We belong to him. And he says, in the same way that Christ forgave you, you forgive your brother. You forgive your sister. And that's the way it ought to be. And then he says in verse 14, and above all these things, this is important here. And here we are, we're coming into February, love month, right? Put on charity, or that is, put on love. The kind of love that God has for us, let us love one another. Jesus said that that is the second commandment, right? In his way of thinking. We're to love God with all of our hearts, and we are to love one another. And Paul, the great apostle, says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Love one another. This is what it's all about. And we are to be filled with that kind of love. And then he goes on to say, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, we get distraught and upset about things so often. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know? We have it, of course, in the other epistles. It speaks about the peace with God that we have when we trust Christ. We have the peace of God that rules and reigns in our hearts. And that's what he says here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So, if you're not peaceful in your heart, whose fault is it? He says, let it happen. Yeah, we have a choice in this matter. We can choose to let God's peace rule in our hearts. He tells us over in Philippians how to do that. Turn everything over to him and let him have that ruling in our hearts, as he says here. To the which also you are called in one body, the church, right? We're all one. In the one body of Christ. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Such simple truths that Paul brings out here. And yet we just stumble over top of them, keep on going, right? And he says, no, let's be thankful. We could either accept things and be selfish and say, I deserve that. You know, I'm so wonderful. No. He says, you be thankful for what God does for you. And he's the one that should receive all of the glory for all of this. And then he talks about the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of Christ. We have the word of Christ here before us in our Bibles. But how does that help us unless we read it? Unless we study it? Unless we think upon it? You know, that's the wonderful thing about studying the scripture verse by verse. We can let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't just think about it occasionally, but let it dwell. Think about what Christ has said and what he wants us to know. Teaching and admonishing one another. So there. One teaches, another one receives it, and build each other up in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, people have preferences, don't they? You know, some people like classical music. Some people like rock and roll. Some people like gospel music, you know. And what does Paul say? He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Well, we know where the psalms are, don't we? I was reading Crossword puzzle, I guess it was, something about talking about the Psalm 119. And the whole thing is about the Word of God. And He says here, the Psalms, something that's helpful to us to think upon that. And as you read through the Psalms and you memorize it, the 23rd Psalm, almost everybody in here knows the 23rd Psalm, don't you? Yeah, sure you do. And it's important that we do that. But then he says also hymns. We sing hymns on Sunday morning, don't we? Yeah. A mighty fortress is our God, right? Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. But that's hymns. And then spiritual songs. What? Let's see. What is that? That's now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Yeah? Tell him all about our struggles. And you know, you clap your hands and you sing. And is that all right? He says it is, right? That's what he says. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, some of this modern music I don't like. I don't. And but that doesn't change the fact that some people do like it. And you're supposed to use it as you can. Now, some of it I do like. I do like it. We sing In Christ Alone. That's a wonderful, wonderful song that we sing sometimes on Sunday nights. And all of these other spiritual songs. Singing, what does it say? With grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you think the Lord likes to hear spiritual songs? I think he does. Huh? And all these other things that we're looking at here, we are to rejoice. Singing is one of the greatest things, I think, in the world. You know, it helps you to remember the goodness of God. Now I'm talking about, you know, Christian songs. I like some of the other two. But anyway, that's beside the point. At any rate, we see here in verse 17, what does it say? Summary verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, may it be to the praise and honor and glory of God, of Christ. And so glorify him in everything. That's the way it should be for us as believers. Giving thanks to God for all that he has done for us. You know, the name Christian signifies a follower of Christ, right? Lay aside all the others, you know, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. But Christian means a follower of Christ, whoever that might be. And everything we do reflects on Christ, whether it's good or bad, right? And Paul, of course, admonishes us again and again to do what God wants us to do and not to bring reproach upon his name by some foolish thing that we have done. And, you know, some people say, oh, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one, right? Oh, did you know he cheats? Did you know that he sold me a car that won't run? You know? And all these kind of things. And he says we should do what we do for the glory of the Lord. Now, you know that, of course. I'm not telling anything new. I'm just reading the chapter in the Bible and explaining what it says. And I think this is something that would be helpful to us if we would put it into practice. So in order to manifest the life of Christ within us, we must seek after heavenly things rather than earthly treasures, shun sinful practices, and select God's best for our lives. May the Lord grant that we might do that, live up to what he expects of us, and be faithful in all that we undertake. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. Speak to us and teach us and help us, encourage us, that we might do your will in all things. Forgive us wherein we fail, wherein we fall short of your glory. And thank you so much for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.